I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. And Happy New Year. And it actually is New Year here because I'm in Florida and it's exactly midnight as I speak. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll know that you can expect a program jam-packed with information as usual. And we'll be talking about some interesting concepts related to the new year. And it'll be the ET Yoga spin on New Year. We'll be talking about doing some inner work, making some possible resolutions for that new year. We'll be making connections between our physical bodies and metaphysical concepts. And as well, kind of a preview as to what we might expect to happen in 2017. But before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by doing a little Japa Yoga and bringing in the new year with Sri Swami Satchidananda leading us in some mantra meditation. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari
Hari, 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 Hari.
Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda leading us in Hari Om mantra meditation. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. Sri Swami Satchidananda was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institute. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And I'd also like to give my thanks and appreciation to those of the ET Yoga listening audience who do take the time to email me. My name is Charles Maxwell Green, and I can be reached at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I much appreciate hearing your contributions towards program content, as well as nothing makes my week more than hearing about your successes with ideas, concepts, techniques that you've used and have found to be beneficial in your life. And if you care to share that information, really love to hear it. Now, in preparing for tonight's program, I always learn things, and this week's no exception. And I'm going to start off by stating an inner joke that I have with a friend of mine, and that since it is a new year, this is the best year ever, and today is the best day ever. And that's kind of a slogan that I like to lead my day off with. And another interesting suggestion from Barbara Marciniak, channeling Pleiadian information, would be to every day spend just a few seconds to state the following. I am intending to have a gloriously, exceptionally wonderful year. Financially, I will rise to new heights. Health-wise, I will go to new levels of optimum health. I will attract myself to the right people, people of patience and honesty, good friends, and good adventures. And it's worthwhile to spend a little bit of time doing some good, positive inner work in that regard. And speaking of positive inner work, maybe a possible resolution for the new year might be to spend a little time doing that inner work that you've kind of put off for so long. And certainly, it has its beneficial effects as well. And according to my Qigong teacher, that's Master Ming Tong Gu, energy creates stress. And if nothing is done to relieve the stress, it becomes chronic and creates blockages and stops the flow of energy. Happiness creates an energy flow. And when energy flows freely, we feel good. And the main cause of chronic illness is stress, accumulative stress, especially trauma. And it gets reflected in the body as blockages and compromises your mental well-being and creates emotional blockages. And in Qigong, we do the sounds that release the blockages and release the unconscious programming. And that's basically the summary of Qigong sound healing. I highly, highly recommend you check out Master Ming Tong Gu. That's M-I-N-G-T-O-N-G-U, Ming Tong Gu, and Qigong, X-I-G-O-N-G. Also interesting and positive news coming from Babaji, and that is with respect to him speaking about samadhi. And that comes in a channeling from Solara on Ra. And by the way, Solara on Ra has some of the best meditations. If you go to YouTube, Solara Anra, A-N-R-A. Excellent meditations there on YouTube. And Babaji has very encouraging words that I'd like to share, that he says he's speaking in the flow of time or no time in which you exist. You have been yogis before, and you're simply remembering that there are these ways of focus and discipline and the ways of a yogi and union with the divine. And the longing is there, deep in your soul, for the union of the divine. Not the concept, not the learning, not the understanding or the theory, but the true experience with which nothing on earth can compare. There's nothing that can compare with the bliss of samadhi within yourself. You become not only your body, not only your mind or personality, you can become one with the creation. And flowing creation energy field that encompasses all in creation, and you experience yourself as the beauty of a flower, as the glory of a sunrise, as the truth, which is the divine nature, which knows everything. And you feel simultaneously omnipresent and as small as a grain of sand. You have the simultaneous experience within you of being everything and nothing, and it takes you into a divine bliss. And that is what you seek in your heart of hearts, in your deepest soul. You seek this peace and experience of oneness with the divine and all that is. So you begin your journey with this Kriya Pranayam, one previously imparted to the highest of the high, imparted only to those already 100% dedicated to making a union with God. But the time is here when there is so much confusion within your species and on your planet, so much disharmony, and yet so much potential and light as the frequencies shift. What you call the shift into fifth dimension, which we, the masters of pranayam, call the shift into samadhi. And it is possible now, as never before, for a very high percentage of the population to rise into this frequency. And you yourselves, you sitting in this circle of experience, to experience this bliss also. It is not permanent for you to move in and out of it at this point, but you must practice staying in the field of bliss for longer and longer periods, for practice makes perfect. You are assisted now by your combined energy field. You're assisted now by the joining of your frequencies, which allows you on an individual level to achieve more, and it is good for you to come together to share your practice. We ask you to do this, to share your practice, even if it's only through the web of light rather than in person. For you encourage each other, not only in your practice, but to be loving, to be kind, and to be of service. You are inspired by each other on your path. This is most desirable. For there are no longer the ashrams available to all spiritual seekers. And you also create spiritual communities by choosing to come together, taking time outside of your everyday reality to practice together. This is highly beneficial. And so we wish you well, and we wish you joy in your practice. We assist you with your discipline. We assist you with your physical alignment, so you do not feel so many aches and pains and find yourselves miraculously sitting like the yogis of old in full lotus, locked into the physical position that allows you to move into the breathless state. For this breathless state is assisted by your posture and your pranayam practice, and you will be assisted by our channel, Solara Anra. Namaste. Nice words from Babaji. And with respect to inner work, I think one of the things that sometimes goes kind of in the pile, it's called forgotten to do, relates to some of our body signals. And when our body is giving us pain, It's not that the body's broken, but it's doing its job. And one of the functions is to carry messages from the higher energetic planes and then up to us to interpret these messages and take action. And as we know, Western medicine basically is limited to drugs and surgery. Treatment consists of numbing or diverting pain receptors or cutting off the organ. So people are encouraged to take responsibility for our own lives. This is the ancient wisdom. We use our body to communicate with ourselves and others. We use our body to work out emotional, mental, and spiritual questions. And while we do tend to judge a diseased body negatively, really, there's no point in judging, yet there is being well and being sick. And when we're sick, we tend to want to do something about it. But keep in mind that healing occurs in the individual, family, the community, and at the global level. And ultimately, it's our choice to heal or not to heal, and it's our own healing that gets activated. And, of course, the human body doesn't come with kind of a driving manual or a book on, like our new cars do, with the operator's manual in the glove box. It's nice that some people have made some connections that we can use with respect to doing our own inner work. And here are some general observations with respect to the body signals that can lead us into an area of proper introspection. If you're experiencing headaches, usually this is representative of separation from truth, and the greater the pain, the more important the issue. And migraines generally are a separation from your world. Issues with the back or spine. This relates to the support you think you have in your life. Issues with the shoulders. Burdens and responsibilities, or an unwillingness to be responsible for your responsibilities. Issue with the back, that which is behind us. It's kind of a conflict to move forward, and an inertia of an unforgiving past that holds us back. The lower back generally reflects financial support. The liver is related to anger or base emotions, the spleen, worry, or overthinking. The legs and hips relate to decisions in life, a sign of being stuck in life, like fear of going forward. The upper thighs, a separation and fear of failing. The knees represent pride, keeps us from surrendering to the will of God or the universe. The shins, of course, they're brittle. It relates to moving forward. It means leaving something behind, like grief. The ankles represent flexibility. Stiff ankles mean change is difficult for you. The feet, connection with Mother Earth, indicates relationships with Mother Earth. Can also be grief or resentment that can be stored here as the body struggles to protect the heart, the idea being to stop dwelling on the past and move forward. The throat represents our will and ability to communicate things you have not said or communicated. The thyroid, difficulty in analyzing and digesting and assimilating. Communication between the heart and head. The chest, disconnection with the feminine principle. Typically, in women, the breast means denying of the principle of mothering and nurturing. And cysts and lumps represent over-mothering. Solar plexus, negative ego, conflicts in your life that are unresolved. Usually associated with anger and the stomach, digestion, not only of food, but of new ideas and adapting to change. So that's kind of an interesting list. And, of course, I do tend to go through things rather rapidly on the ET Yoga program. So if you want to kind of go through that list at your own leisure, you can always go to the archives at BBS Radio, or you can go to my website at etyoga.com, and on the main page there's a button called Radio Archives. You just click on that one button, and you'll go to about the last 10 programs with the dates associated. So it's easy to remember today's date. And then just click on the show and play it. And there's no charge, no fee, no hassle. And then you can go over the program and go over any points that you care to focus on. Another take on relating bodily issues to emotional issues are provided through the book Self-Empowerment by Barbara Marciniak, and that would be channeling Pleiadian information. And she states that if the genitals are calling for your attention, the second chakra is the place in your body where the energy is blocked. Examine your feelings about issues of male and female power or the lack of it in your life. Do you feel powerless to create what you want? Problems in the legs and feet involve issues of perseverance through forward movement, and difficulties in the arms and hands signify a lack of willingness to passionately embrace life and to actively create your desires. The neck and throat involve issues of flexibility and self-expression. The brain is the focal point for beliefs about intelligence, the eyes about sight, the ears about hearing, the stomach is for assimilation, the intestines for accepting nourishment from life, and the bowels for releasing waste materials. Colds and flus are associated with indecision, weight imbalance with unfulfilled desires, while cancer is triggered by hate, often self-hatred, and anger and rage for believing you are less than who you are. The liver is a detoxifying organ, and if yours is not functioning properly, what contribution of toxic emotion is seething beneath the surface? Apply the meaning of the function to your life. If you understand the working function of the afflicted area, then you can understand the issues you are resisting, blocking, and stopping from finding healthy expression in your life. Fear of letting go and releasing the past is an underlying cause of illness. Your emotional responses to what you believe has happened to you are at the core of your beliefs. And I might note that with respect to the importance of eating a diet rich in a variety of colors, that certainly color also has an impact on our organs. As ZenGardner.com, and that's Gardner, GARDNER.com, states that the liver disease, the color green is deficient, and the kidney needs red and the heart yellow. And at Zonki International, and that's Z or ZHONGKE, International Institute, they state green nourishes the liver, red nourishes the heart, yellow benefits spleen and stomach, white moistens the lungs, and black nourishes the kidneys, i.e. black beans and seaweed. And I might note that according to Master Ming Tonggu in Qigong, that he targets five energetic systems of the body, and he associates a color to each as well. Red associated with the heart, blue the kidney system or reproductive and generative system, yellow the digestive system, green the liver and purification system, and white related to the lungs. So also very interesting and important is the impact of color. Now, of course, in any discussion or any thorough investigation of beliefs. I'm going to share with you now information that I put together with respect to the concept of beliefs. And I think this is, if there was a New Year's resolution, I think that would be really valuable, would be take a piece of paper and write down what you think your current beliefs are. You know, generally, you know, make a list of different areas of your life and write down what you believe. And do a check and see what's actually appearing in your life, because what's appearing in your life is a reflection of what you believe. And an interesting concept here is that you don't have a belief you don't prefer. And actually, I wrote an article called Bashar's Big Four. I probably could have said Bashar's Big Five, because the concept that you don't have a belief you don't prefer would certainly stand up to the other main 4 points. And those are that the world is a reflection of your beliefs, definitions, intentions, and emotions. Second, that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meanings. Third, that the emotional spin you put on an outer circumstance creates the experience. And four, that outer circumstances don't matter, only state of being matters. In quick review of these big four, quantum physics has supported Bashar's teachings in all areas. First, the newest in theory states that the entire universe functions as one giant holographic computer which operates via consciousness, and belief is the language of recognition. In simplified terms, what you believe is. Also, outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning, even though the population at large thinks so. A point easily proven. Two people, let's say, experiencing the same event, will have a different experience based on what they choose to focus on and the spin they put on it. The third point about creating a positive experience follows the formula positive spin in, positive experience out. Negative spin in, then a negative experience will be the result. And lastly, the neural frequency of the brain in the heart has been shown to be 5,000 times more powerful than the brain and emits a measurable frequency extending from the physical body. Thus, it is your emotional state or state of being that is more important than an outer circumstance, as it is this frequency that interacts with the morphogenetic field and creates your version of reality. Of course, there again we have the idea of objective reality, which is also a false illusion. Reality is the experience and is experienced differently by each of us. We also learn from Bashar that victimhood is characterized by expressing the emotions of complaint, blame, and justification of circumstances. When you express these sentiments, you immediately create yourself as a victim, not to be confused with ascertaining the truth or using discernment. It is when judgment of a circumstance or individual leads to invalidation that we cross the line. The masses also have the idea that they are disconnected with their negative beliefs. Well, let's take the 2012 doom and gloom as an example of this concept. If you believe in that 2012 catastrophic scenario, then at some deeper level, that's what you prefer. It takes inner work to analyze these deep-seated beliefs. There's no way you would have such a belief unless it was preferable to some perceived alternative scenario. And many times, it's just fear of the unknown or fear of another scenario that is perceived by the ego as a greater threat. In fact, scientifically proven is that there are an infinite number of possible reality scenarios, and they're all being played out. When you change your inner beliefs and quit buying into somebody else's negativity, you actually shift yourself to a new frequency. You think others have changed, but because you have changed, you find yourself surrounded by different versions of the same people with different beliefs similar to yours. If you take any subject, you will find that the experience you have of it will be reflected in your belief. Negative beliefs are based in fear and are not in alignment with your higher self. They are based in faulty reasoning and are always in conflict with the ultimate truths of reality, as expounded at the College of Christ Consciousness website. And these are the fundamental rules that apply to how we function in 3D. Now, most people are aware of the placebo effect, where taking a sugar pill actually performs equal to the actual pill. Why does this work? Because you believe it does. If you expand this idea to everything you experience, you'll get the gist of how this works. It's exactly as if we live inside a virtual reality computer and what we believe we experience. We cannot experience what we are not the vibration of. It is the vibration that creates the experience. It is not seeing is believing. It is believing is seeing. Now, sometimes we have the experience of having a belief, and when we find evidence of this in the outer world, we think it is proof that the belief is true. But what we sometimes are not aware of is that the inner belief that created the initial experience is what's actually causing the experience. Change the belief and you can change the experience. You cannot perceive what you do not contain inwardly. And if you have an idea or a concept, you have the ability to experience that concept. Thus, once you have the idea of enlightenment, you have the capacity or possibility to attain it. That is called the planting of the seed. The original idea of what a baptism is supposed to be. It is the moment you become aware of the possibility of becoming one with and attaining a higher level of consciousness. Once all of the above points, as I've mentioned, become ingrained, you realize that you are 100% responsible for your experience. So you can quit blaming everybody else for what's happening to you and unload all that past emotional baggage. Now, how much of people's time and energy is spent dwelling on a negative past that, ironically, they created in the first place? And as the original premise of this article states, you don't have a belief you don't prefer. Why do you prefer to have such beliefs? Oh, I forgot. It's much easier to blame somebody else and create yourself as a victim. The same holds true at the global level. We collectively create the experience around us. There is no they. We are they. You don't get peace by hating war. You get peace by loving peace. And enough people focus on what they want instead of what they don't want. It is created in the outer experience. In practical terms, your expectations, intentions, emotions, and beliefs will create your experience of 2017. And I say it's the best year ever. We're at a point in the evolution of humanity that has never been seen before. We're about to take a leap from the cocoon to becoming butterflies. Keep your peace, as Swami Satchitananda would say. Don't get lost in fear. Fear can be your friend, like a key on the piano that is out of tune. Oh joy, another fear, an opportunity to fine-tune yourself. And keep in mind that Mr. Fear has his foot on the toolbox marked your personal empowerment. And personal empowerment is connected to taking responsibility for your outer experience, because it is your point of power. If you created it, you have the power to fix it. And if somebody else created it, then you are the victim. If you choose to live in joy, then visualize in your mind how someone would act in the situation from the perspective of joy. and then mimic the behavior in the real world. And you can be happy just because you want to, not because you hit the lottery or some other outer event that takes place. Further, with regard to ascension, it's just my personal opinion that for simplified purposes, there's 12 different timelines associated with the scenario you will experience. They are connected to the 12 chakras, 7 in the body and 5 outside the body, the 12 strands of DNA, and your intentions. We will each end up having the experience that our higher self wants us to have, because don't forget, we are our higher selves. The higher self splits off a portion of itself that incarnates in what we perceive as this lifetime. We are spiritual beings having an earth incarnation. The higher self exists just outside the time-space continuum. And somewhere after the fall of Atlantis, we generally lost our connection or awareness of the higher self, and it completes our persona of higher self, brain, and rational mind. The higher self being the conceiver of ideas, and the brain the receiver, and the mind the perceiver. And I guess maybe I should apologize for most of my analogies of belief refer to changing the negative beliefs. However, please keep in mind that there is also in my blog site an article called Positive Beliefs to Embrace. And just like there's no positive reason to put a negative spin on an outer event, there's no positive reason to espouse a negative belief. Two important factors in moving up to the next dimension are to take responsibility for your outer experience and let go of the past. This means to use compassion and forgiveness to negative emotions associated with others. And ironically, although of your own creation, they bind you to 3D. Keep in mind that the emotions of compassion, gratitude, and unconditional love are the antidote to disease. They are high frequencies. Fear and disease are low frequencies. By placing positive spin on an outer event, we are doing reality creation. We also do it by fine-tuning our beliefs, which will eventually manifest. Of course, instantaneous manifestation is also a possibility, but maybe we better do our house cleaning first, because imagine if every thought you had manifested instantaneously. I've been told that focused attention to a thought for only 16 seconds begins to bring that reality to your experience. Remember, we don't pray to create a reality as it already exists. We pray to see that it already exists. And there is something magical in the emotions associated with the concept that an event has already happened. We actually bounce those emotions off the universal intelligence field, and the shadow effect is the appearance of the event in our dimension. Because of the law of attraction, the frequency or vibration will manifest. It has to, according to the law, that what you put out, you get back. For physical proof of this concept, I'd like to refer the listeners to Greg Braden and go to YouTube. It's called Healing Cancer in 3 Minutes, where this principle is used to cure a person of a cancerous tumor in less than 3 minutes. And the trick is that the patient is not going to be healed. That is an unknown point in the future. But the practitioners have the idea of the patient already been healed. And this places the frequency in the now. And I would also highly suggest that if you're doing some inner manifestation work, that there's something that you want to experience, the idea being is to get in the highest place you know how to get to, and then give great thanks, appreciation, and gratitude for already having received it. Very, very powerful tool. and certainly is in alignment with all of the laws that were discussed on tonight's program to this point. In fact, it's also been shown that giving appreciation and gratitude creates heart-brain synchronicity. And this appreciation and gratitude and heart-brain synchronicity would create the optimum environment for doing reality creation. And also, I think, to amplify the point about letting go of the past, Barbara Marciniak recently channeled this information from the Pleiadians, and it's called forgiving yourself, and especially when you've created a violation or were violated. Do not play the role of a victim. Love yourself and forgive yourself. Make wise choices. Find a purpose and improve your life. You're here to get the bigger picture. And every person on earth has screwed up at one time or another, and if you carry these wounds forever, you'll be dealing with them forever. So learn from your decisions and your lessons and find out what you need to change and then move forward. And this, again, relates to doing your personal homework. And that personal homework all revolves around beliefs. And I've talked about this innumerable times on ET Yoga, that it's emotional dysfunction that's at the core of all physical issues. And dissolving these negative beliefs, or this is what creates free-flowing energy in your system. And as Pleiadians have pointed out, this first shows up in your auras and then shows up in your physical body. And highly, highly recommend be following up on the ideas of the Pleiadian Pillar of Light meditation, Pleiadian spinning, and grounding yourself to Mother Earth. As all three of these functions help to strengthen your immune system, your auric field, and also your connection with Mother Earth. And now I'd like to move on to an area about interesting things that we might expect in the year 2017, and that's according to Adronis, and that's A-D-R-O-N-I-S. And the reason I picked these out was because, I think that the overall impression is very positive. And he states that the year 2017 is what he calls the year of connection, that 2016 was the year of illumination, and certainly more of the average people on the street became a lot more aware of a lot of things going on in the world in 2016. And he believes that in 2017 there will be much wider discussions of the overall importance and functioning of government, that there'll be more meetings between the U.S. and Russia with the intent of smoothing the waters. And I might add that he points out, and this is his from an extraterrestrial perspective, I believe he's from the Syrian civilization, that there will be no nuclear war because there's such a deep intervention currently going on by extraterrestrials, it just will not be allowed. And he states that extraterrestrials would put an immediate halt to this, and this would entail public awareness, and that this information has already been communicated to all governments, that the ETs would make themselves known. So I think that's quite an interesting comment. He also states that the rogue cabal is moving to Argentina, South Africa, and Antarctica, some to underground facilities, because many will be at the mercy of worldwide tribunals as a result of more data dumps. And I might add that there have already been multiple worldwide tribunals. Of course, we don't hear about it in mainstream media, But if you want to really do some research, you're going to find out there's some very interesting international warrants out for a number of people already. He also states that he believes that millions will attend the White House to demand that criminals be put to trial, and that he thinks might start actually in the spring to summer of 2017. He also thinks that there's a high probability of a mass sighting in the spring of 2017 that would be a possible recurrence of the Phoenix Lights. And, of course, I've mentioned several times on ET Yoga that this whole concept of the Phoenix Lights, and if you look that up on YouTube, there was a craft, a boomerang shape that flew over the entire state of Arizona. This was about a mile wide. And that craft was a Yael craft. That's Y-A-Y-E-L, Yael. And according to Bashar and Adranus, it will be the Yael that will make first open public contact with us. And I find that also quite interesting. He believes that zero-point energy will be mainstream news in 2017, more so in Europe, India, and possibly Russia. With respect to the monetary system, he thinks it'll go through a reboot in 2017. The gold and silver will rise, and that he expects actually that China will assist to stabilize the worldwide economy to keep it from collapsing. And we can already see signs of this. According to Simon Parks, China is now like a quarter owner of the Deutsche Bank, which was going under in Germany. And they saved it from going down because I think it would cause a chain reaction. So I think we're already seeing signs that possibly a lot smoother transition economically, even if the old system collapses. He thinks there'll be more ET exposure and disclosure. He sees that the sun will go through a greater increase in energy. And I noticed then you can go on YouTube and check this his entire version here on it's Adranus, A-D-R-O-N-I-S, Adranus, on his Year of Connection. And he stated that he thought by about June of 2017 there would be some selected sightings and selected telepathic dialogue happening with Earth humans with intervention fleets, and that they will become available for this type of communication. And that there's also a possibility that some ETs operating in secrecy upon the planet might reveal themselves. Well, that'd be quite exciting. And one point that he made and actually ended up with was that I think is really, really positive, is that people will come together in 2017 unlike anything ever seen before. Well, that to me would be really, really something I could look forward to. Definitely the old-time 1960s and that whole hippie era is a tough one to top. I feel sorry for some people that didn't get a chance to experience some of that with respect to people of any kind of similar age seeing themselves kind of like brothers and sisters. And it was originally kind of functioned on the premise of kind of, I guess, a dropout from the conventional society. But according to Simon Parks, that whole hippie generation almost busted the powers that be because, I guess, with so many people not playing ball, has a big effect on those in powers that were, shall we call them. I guess I probably should not go without mention that if you're doing any New Year's resolutions, Here's one to think about. It's a very simple concept called Bashar's Basics of Good Health. And they include drinking pure water, oxygenation, and that can involve pranayams, deep breathing, getting plenty of exercise, and that'd be like 3 times a week, make a point of breaking a sweat. Also related to making a conscious effort to reduce stress in your life. I know that would, for many people can be challenging, but it's definitely worth putting in the time to try and lighten things up there. The next point being to lighten up the diet, meaning to get off meats of all kinds, get into a vegetarian diet, then work towards a vegan one. And his last point is detoxification. And unlike, you know, those who did grow up back in the 60s, things have got a lot more toxic, a lot more metals make their way into our bodies. And doing a thorough detox is the way to go. It's kind of like, I call it like doing a tune-up on your car. We change the oil once a year or at least, and maybe that once a year detox is in order. And I always refer people to the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. That's Dr. Schultz. He's got some great 5-day detox programs for liver, kidney, colon, and brain even. Fabulous products, actually recommended by Bashar, which is kind of strange because I've only heard him recommend about 4 or 5 products in the last 25, 30 years. And I like to add a 7th point on to Bashar's basic 6, and that's get plenty of sunlight, because that's our main source of vitamin D, and vitamin D is the trigger to the immune system. And as usual on ET Yoga, I'd like to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And as I said, adopt the slogan, this year's the best year ever, and today's the best day ever, and it's always now. So I'd like to now end the program by sharing with you the Who Am I technique. And that was the technique that I first learned from Baba Ram Dass, and also it's connected with Sri Ramana Maharshi, because he was the person that gave this technique to his disciples. It's called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, or the Who Am I technique. In my opinion, one of the most powerful techniques that's ever come across my path. And basically, you get in the highest place you know how to get to. If that's doing your asanas, then pranayams, then a meditation, or whatever other means you want to use to get in the highest place you can. And once you're in that place, put your full concentration, focus, and consciousness in your ajna center or third eye. And that would be in the center of your forehead. And become that spot. And then once you become that spot, you can ask the question, who am I? And you can ask that question multiple times. You can say it rapidly. You can say it slowly, kind of like when you do mantra. You can do it rapidly or you can do it slowly, as an example of when we do the Japa Yoga or the Hari Om at the beginning of the program. Do the who am I in whatever form or shape is comfortable for you. And then when you're finished asking the question, who am I, and you become that spot, then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.